Morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. As we transition into Romans chapter 8, where we meet our mentor, our guide, and our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, a familiar story comes to mind. The story of David and Goliath comes to mind as we close out our look at the last two verses of Romans chapter 7, where a frustrated Apostle Paul wonders how he could ever be delivered. Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, who will free me from the body of this death? Then the who dawns on him. Romans 7, 25. Thanks be to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, who delivered us at the cross. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. But on the other, with my flesh, I am serving the law of sin. Paul was trying to live the Mosaic law as if it were the Christian way of living and found out that the legalistic lifestyle did not work. And while Paul may have been frustrated and confused about who would deliver him, when David fought Goliath, he was not at all confused about who would deliver him in this one-sided fight. He was a shepherd boy against a nearly 10-foot-tall trained warrior. Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 41 to 51, here is that story. Then the Philistine, Goliath, came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. So when warriors fought, they were the aggressors, but they also had people with shields in front of them to ward off any missiles or arrows that would come toward them. It was somebody who, where the expression, I've got your back, came from. 1 Samuel 17:42. And when the Philistine Goliath looked and saw David, he disdained him. What does that mean? He disrespected him. He laughed. For David was but a youth and ruddy, which means with a red complexion. That's what the word Rory means, actually. Rory is a ruddy, red-complected warrior. That's what that name means. So David was but a youth and ruddy with a red complexion and with a handsome appearance. 1 Samuel 17:43. The Philistine Goliath said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And David had come to him with a slingshot. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. David was simply armed with a slingshot and 5 smooth stones. The Philistine Goliath also said to David in 1 Samuel 17:44, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the field. 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine Goliath, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. 1 Samuel 17:46. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. That's bold. I like him. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. 1 Samuel 17:47. And that all the earth and all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. 1 Samuel 17:48. Then it happened when the Philistine Goliath rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. What did David do in the face of danger? He ran toward it. 1 Samuel 17:49, and David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine Goliath on his forehead. And the stone sank into Goliath's forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. 1 Samuel 17:50. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. 1 Samuel 17:51. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took Goliath's sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed Goliath and cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The battle is the Lord's. He will deliver you up into my hands. That's a pretty bad guy who knocks you down and then kills you with your own equipment. David, the shepherd boy, was wise beyond his youthful years by saying, "The battle is the Lord's. He will deliver you up into my hands." Likewise, Moses was not confused at all about whom it would be who would deliver him and the Jews at the Red Sea as they fled from Egyptian captivity. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 say, Moses said to the Jewish people who were fleeing from the Egyptians and were gathered together at the Red Sea, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." Exodus 14, 14, "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." The battle is the Lord's. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will deliver you up into my hands. This is great advice from two great and imperfect men, and it is relevant to all of us as church-age believers. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. Let the Lord fight for you while you keep your mouth shut. Can you do it? Welcome to a place where you get consistent and continuous instruction in the matter of letting the Lord do the work for you in the Christian way of living. Divine power is perfected in human weakness. Divine power is the only power. And as you meet God the Holy Spirit, you will meet the person sent from the Lord to deliver you into all the truth. You will meet the person that you, as a Christian, depend on, and he will fight your fight. Opening song by Chris Tomlin, "Your Grace Is Enough."
With the sin. children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Tomlin. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for making us dependent on you. Help us to enjoy the rest that goes along with letting you deliver us in every situation. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, the battle is the spirits. The battle is the spirits. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who delivered us at the cross. After salvation, God the Holy Spirit took the hand off and is now responsible for our sanctification. And as believers in Christ, we were set apart for a set of privileges. That's what sanctification means. That at salvation, we were sanctified. We were set apart for a set of privileges. And God the Holy Spirit teaches us all about those privileges. The battle was the Lord's for David and Moses. For the church-age believer, the battle is the Spirit's. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm excited and honored to meet God the Holy Spirit, my day-to-day deliverer. As we transition now into the study of Romans chapter 8, we will get an introduction to our mentor, our guide, and our teacher, God the Holy Spirit. And, you know, his teaching is just as simple as this. You see a situation in front of you, and it's clear to you that the situation is not something that God would endorse. And I was listening to Julius Erving talk this week, and he said that one of the things he got to in his life, and Julius Erving's a basketball player. I don't know whether you guys know who he is, but he played 30 years ago. But he was the first guy in the NBA that really defined flying through the air with the greatest of ease, like a daring young man on the flying trapeze. But he was saying that when he came to Christ, he realized that there were a lot of decisions that he was facing in his life. And he would look at the decision and he would know what he wanted to do as a human being. And then he would say to himself, would Jesus do what I have chosen to do in this situation? And if the answer was no, and he clearly knew what the answer was, he didn't do it. And you know what? Life is that simple. When we're faced with decisions like that, every decision that we're faced with in life, it's really that simple. All right, here's what I want to do in this situation. Is that what Jesus would have me do? And we know the answer. We may not like the answer. So when we make this move into meeting God the Holy Spirit, our mentor, our guide, and our teacher, we will, in this chapter, Romans chapter 8, study a series of irrevocable and established facts about him. Irrevocable, never-changing facts about him. And one of the things you're going to see in this chapter is that there are no commands. You know, there are some commands about the Holy Spirit later in the New Testament. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. But in this chapter, none. All facts. Here's who your deliverer is on a day-to-day basis. Here's who your mentor is. Here's who your guide is. Here's who your teacher is. And the theme of this chapter for Christians is dependence. That thing that we don't like doing, depending. And so our success in this life, our happiness in this life, everything meaningful in this life is a dependence. And the dependence is we depend on God the Holy Spirit. So it'll be great in the next several lessons to start being familiar with God the Holy Spirit and what He does to ensure that our Christian walk conforms us to the image of God's Son. Because that's what Christianity is all about. Once you believe, it's being conformed to the image of His Son. Now, God the Holy Spirit is the one who conforms us to the image of the Son. God the Father is the one who keeps on perfecting us. They have chosen a home in us. And they are leading us like a lighthouse right to the destination. So that's what we're about to study. Let's pause for a moment to take the offering. Okay, so now I get my turn in the barrel. Ah, there we go. Deacon Denny Goodall is going to come up and take the offering. And we want you to know that we appreciate your gifts. And because the Lord provides you with a way to be generous, you get a chance to give of your treasure so that others can benefit. There is no greater expression of the unconditional love of God than giving. Here's what Paul has to say to the believers in Christ at Corinth concerning giving, starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and moving to verse 8. Now, this I, Paul, say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. In other words, be generous. The more seeds that are sown, the bigger the harvest. The more seeds that are sown, the more you're making an announcement that you trust God. Because when you trust God to replace it, He will. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a joyfully willing giver. So that means when you give, give because you want to, not because you have to. And don't give out of guilt or being guilt-tripped. God loves an attitude in you that wants to give, not an attitude that thinks he has to give. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. If you're benefiting from this teaching, show your appreciation through your gift. Let's welcome Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Broad Ministries, a worldwide Christian ministry. And I'm proud that this is a part where people probably tune out and fast forward. We are sanctioned by God to charge for anything we provide so that allows you to worship God. We choose not to exercise that right. No price appears on any material from Bra Ministries so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Even though the materials are free of charge, they're not free of cost. We appreciate your much-needed financial support so we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers God provides. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. Last week, as we started the overview, the zoom-out mode of Romans chapter 8, one verse really stuck out to me. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does, as believers, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's a crazy verse. There's a lot there. And I wanted to read it in another translation. The New Living Translation says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." So, you know, a lot of people focus on the power of that verse. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises us from the dead. But to me, the more meaningful part of that verse is that he dwells in us. He lives in us. We are his habitation. And I was thinking, you know, what do you say about your house that you live in? That's your house. So I'm sure he says the same thing. We are his house. And, you know, it's funny because I've put several, I've upgraded my house with numerous things, water heater, air conditioner, windows, tile, anything you think of, all the cabinets are brand new. And do you think the house takes credit for that? Or does the one dwelling within that take credit for that? The one dwelling within is the power that created all that and that made it happen, not the house itself. So in the same way, we're the house that's just getting taken advantage of by the perfect being, the Holy Spirit. So when you give, it's just the Holy Spirit acting within you. And he's aware of every ounce of guilt or remorse or whatever you have as you give. So like Pastor said, just give ungrudgingly, without any type of remorse or any type of reluctance. Because you know that everything you give, he's accounting for and will give you back 3 to 10 or whatever fold. So thank you so much for your giving, and God bless America.
Thank you for your generosity. Today's study, The Battle is the Spirits. Thanks, Deacon Denny, for a great offering message. And there's probably about 10 lessons in that Romans chapter 8, verse 11 verse. And I think every verse in Romans chapter 8, we're going to find that there are a lot of lessons in there for us, a lot of magnificence for us. And we have a lot of resources at our disposal. You know, maybe you have a treadmill in your house. And, you know, 15 minutes on that treadmill a day would probably give you some pretty good health. But, you know, we get a little bit too busy for that kind of stuff. We have resources, but we don't use them. In the Christian way of life, it's just obscene how many resources we have that we don't use when the time is right to use them. But isn't it great that the battle is the Spirit's? The battle isn't ours. And God the Holy Spirit is on the scene, battling for us when we don't even know it. God the Holy Spirit has been on the scene for a really long time. He has always existed as a member of the triune Godhead, triune Trinity. We have a single God that expresses himself in three separate and distinct persons. God the Father, who planned the plan of God, God the Son who executed the plan of God, God the Holy Spirit who reveals and teaches the plan of God. And their physical manifestation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the unique person of the universe, undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever, 100% God, 100% man in one person forever. And he reflects this beauty that we are a reflection of as well. As church age believers, we are in union with Christ. So we have 100% God and us 100% true humanity in one being forever. So we are an exact duplication of this magnificent and uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God the Holy Spirit has been on the scene with God the Father and with God the Son for a really long time. He has always existed as a member of the triune Godhead, and there never was a time when he didn't exist. He existed in the beginning, which was really not a beginning, because the Lord has no beginning and no ending. When the Lord, God the Son, created the heavens and the earth, God the Holy Spirit existed. And he first appeared on the scene to restore a formless and void planet. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 say this. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, not a beginning, God the Son, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, created the heavens and the earth. He barad the heavens and the earth. He made something from nothing, and that something that he made from nothing was the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2, but the earth became formless and void. The earth became tohu wabohu in the Hebrew. And darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Holy Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So when you hear people who are Christians talk about the creation, they talk about the creation as if it was done in 7 days. It was not. The Lord, who created the heavens and the earth, snapped it into existence with a snap of a finger, creating something from nothing. And then something happened to make the earth formless and void. And the something that happened was the rebellion of all angelic creatures. And the lights were turned off so that they could not have free roam of the universe, and they were confined to one planet, planet Earth. And a trial is still being held in the matter of those angels. And when the appeal of that trial happened, God the Holy Spirit was given the task of restoring the formless and void planet. And he took 7 days to do it, not because he had to take 7 days to do it, but because there were 7 days of lessons available in him doing it. So God the Holy Spirit's always been around. Poor Holy Spirit is the Rodney Dangerfield of the Godhead. I'll tell you, I don't get no respect. So God the Holy Spirit had a role in Old Testament scripture. Here are some examples. Exodus chapter 31, verse 3. I have filled him, Bezalel, the son of Uri, with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. The Lord filled certain people with the Spirit to do his work, and Bezalel was an artisan who helped Moses build the temple, Solomon's temple, and the Spirit gave Bezalel a power he wouldn't have had on his own. Well, God the Holy Spirit does the same for us. He gives us a power that we would not have on our own. So let's take a music break before we continue, and then we'll meet this Holy Spirit who does our battling for us. The music break through it all, through all of it, Colton Dixon.
There are days of taking more than I can give, and there are choices that I've made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I've won and I've lost. Sometimes times I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it. You were there when it all came down on me. When I was blinded by my fear and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I won and I lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it. Ooh, through all of it. And this is who you are. More constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of our lives, sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it.
Welcome back. The battle is the Spirit's. The battle is the Spirit's. God the Holy Spirit fights our supernatural battles for us. And I think that's one thing that's lost on Christians. I think it's lost on Christians that the Christian way of life is supernatural. You know, what we like to do is make the Christian way of life just some other appendage onto our life. Yeah, it's just something. No, it is the centerpiece of our life. It is at the very core of our life. It's at the very core of our being. And it gives us access to supernatural things. So when we pray for Rosemary LaGrasso, we're doing a supernatural thing. We're calling a supernatural power into play. When you ask God the Holy Spirit to work for you, it's not an, oh, by the way. When you place a problem in his hands, you've placed that problem in the hands of a supernatural power, and I think Deacon Denny nailed it. What is God the Holy Spirit saying every day when he wakes up? Not that he goes to sleep. But if he did go to sleep, what would he be saying? Rory is my house. Denny is my house. Debbie is my house. Dorothy is my house. This is my house. When Satan attacks, and you know, we don't want to talk about Satan because Satan doesn't exist. Right? That's his greatest deception. He doesn't exist. The Bible is out of date. So when the Bible says that this is Satan's kingdom, when the Bible says that planet Earth is Satan's kingdom, well, that was 2,000 years ago, but this is today. Everything's up to date now. Everything's different because man has helped God. Up to date it. No. God has an enemy, and that enemy hates your guts. Hates you, considers you an enemy, and wants to destroy everything, wants to destroy you and everything meaningful to you. So every time you make a decision, Do you think about it? Do you ask yourself, I wonder if God's enemy is trying to destroy me here? Do you ask yourself that question? Because he is. He doesn't sleep. He's on duty. And if you're studying the Word of God, you are a target. Because he doesn't want the truth to get into anyone. Why? Because there's no truth in him, and he does not stand in the truth. He's not even able to. And so it's really important for you to recognize when you're being used by the kingdom of death, when you're being destroyed by the kingdom of death. This game that we're playing here is a supernatural game. Now, God the Holy Spirit fights our supernatural battles for us. In fact, he had a role in the supernatural virgin birth. He stood in for Joseph to father Jesus Christ's humanity so that Jesus Christ could come to earth without sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, that is, engaged to marry Joseph, before they came together," which means before they had sexual intercourse, "she was found to be with child, pregnant, by the agency of God the Holy Spirit." So when Joseph found this out, and in Jewish society at the time, when you got engaged to a woman, you continued to live with your parents. Both the bride and the groom continued to live with their parents for a year. Lousy idea. Continued to live with their parents for a year, and if nothing flaky happened in that year and they were considered married but not living together, they would come together after a year, have sexual intercourse and consummate the marriage and move in with each other. That's long gone, huh? Now, when Mary turned up pregnant and Joseph knew he hadn't had sex with her, he knew that the baby was by some other guy. Now, Mary was on tap to be stoned to death because of that. All Joseph had to say is, "I didn't do it," and she would be stoned to death. But Joseph, not wanting that to happen because he loved Mary, considered divorcing Mary because she was pregnant, but he was going to put her off secretly. But the Lord intervened. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it said this, "When Joseph had considered this secret divorce so that Mary wouldn't be stoned to death, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is by the agency of God the Holy Spirit." Mary was informed of the situation in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel said to Mary, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Roman Catholics turn that into, "Hail Mary, full of grace." Luke chapter 1, verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Luke 1:32, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Luke 1:33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary was not impressed at all by the angel's account of all the pomp and circumstance, so she got right down to practical matters in Luke 1:34. She said to the angel, "How can that be, since I'm a virgin? How can I be pregnant? I'm a virgin." And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." The supernatural. That's what we can expect from God, the supernatural. Joseph staying when he wanted to leave, the supernatural. Now, if God the Holy Spirit can father a child of a virgin, what is there that he can't do for you? What is broken in your life that he can't fix? God the Holy Spirit is very present in the New Testament as well. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, God the Holy Spirit played a role in the baptism of Jesus Christ's humanity. Matthew 3:16, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Holy Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All three members of the triune Godhead played a role in the baptism. God the Holy Spirit provided the verification that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. God the Holy Spirit accompanied the Lord into the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by God the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Because the Lord didn't have sin from within to be tempted by. He was tempted from without. And God the Holy Spirit was with him as he was tempted from without. God the Holy Spirit speaks for us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. For it is not you who speak, but it is God the Holy Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So every week, every Bible lesson, God the Holy Spirit does the talking through me. It is not my opinion. It is not my thoughts that are coming forth from my mouth. It's God the Holy Spirit's thought. He wrote the lesson. He's sending the messages to you. John the Baptist testified concerning the Spirit. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. John the Baptist said, "I baptized you with water, but the Lord Jesus Christ will baptize you with God the Holy Spirit." Those who reject God's salvation offer are described this way by the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. The unpardonable sin is rejection of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Blasphemy, in this case, is more than just bad-mouthing God. It's a rejection of God's salvation offer. God the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Revelation. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. That means he was a believer in Christ. Looking for the consolation of Israel. Looking for the freedom of Israel from Roman domination. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And remember, this is not the church age that we're talking about. So the Holy Spirit was upon him. That was something that God did for certain Old Testament believers. So Luke 2:26, and it had been revealed to Simeon by God the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And if you go on in that story, he saw the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ calls God the Holy Spirit the Spirit of life. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives the life, the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the eternal life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh gives us nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. The Lord Jesus Christ calls God the Holy Spirit the helper in John chapter 14, verse 16. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will ask God the Father, and he will give you another helper, that's God the Holy Spirit, and that he may be with you forever. Wherever you are never alone. God the Holy Spirit is always with you. The Lord Jesus Christ calls God the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. John chapter 15, verse 26. When the helper, and the Greek word for that is parakletos. It means someone who comes powerfully to the assistance of another. When the helper comes, whom I will send you from God the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from God the Father, he will testify about me. God the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Holiness. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to God the Holy Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. in this age, the church age, God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every believer. So if you think that the flesh can run rampant in your body, doing anything it wants to with its mind, and it has a mind of its own, and that mind is enmity toward God and toward you and toward everything special to you. If you think it can just have a mind of its own, no. It has someone inside of you, resident in you, who's saying, no, this is my house, flesh. So, as we will see in our study of Romans chapter 8, his power is the only power that propels the Christian way of living. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Coincidence, Deacon Denny? But if the spirit of him who resurrected Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and of course it does, he who resurrected Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who is indwelling you. And so this spirit who is indwelling you does not like the flesh's activity in your house and is all over it. So you can depend on God the Holy Spirit to fight your battles for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do what you please. See, the battle is the spirit's. So from this introduction, you should be aware that God the Holy Spirit is not a Johnny-come-lately. Just because we're just starting to really meet God the Holy Spirit and to see all the things that he is and all the things that he does. And by the way, this is a spit in the ocean as far as what I put in this lesson about who the Holy Spirit is. You will start to see that he is not a Johnny-come-lately. God the Holy Spirit is a real person who came to reside within those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not a vague, ethereal shadow, nor is he an impersonal electrical force. And if you ask the Latter-day Saints about God the Holy Spirit, that's the way they would describe him. They would describe him not as God, not as co-equal, co-infinite, co-eternal with God the Son and God the Father, but instead as some kind of electrical force that I can't even imagine what he does, what the electrical, what does he shock you? What does he give you, a burning sensation in your belly? That's not who he is. He is a person who is your mentor, your guide, and your teacher, and every bit as much as God as the other members of the Godhead. He is not just the person who makes the person speak in tongues. The bat, the dat. I love that speak in tongues thing. And people are asking me all the time, is speaking in tongues still valid? Babat, the bat. I say, did you understand what they said? No. Well, then it's not. Because if you go into the Bible and look at the time when God the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost to all of the apostles, what happened? They were speaking in their own language, and everybody that was there was understanding them in their own language. They were speaking Hebrew, and the people who spoke Spanish were hearing their Hebrew as Spanish. And so if somebody claims to be speaking in tongues and you don't understand exactly what they're saying in the English language, about the bat. If you don't understand exactly what they're saying, it's not tongues. Tongues went out in 70 AD. It is no longer viable, and it is a blasphemy to attribute that crap that people are doing to God the Holy Spirit. That is not what he's doing inside of you. That's just another attempt by the kingdom of death to minimize the power of God the Holy Spirit, who is running your life, who is mentoring you, teaching you, guiding you, leading you. That's what he's doing. He is not vague. He is not ethereal. He is not electric. He is not tongues. He is a person equal in every way to God the Father and God the Son. And all the divine attributes ascribed to God the Father and God the Son are equally ascribed to God the Holy Spirit. What attributes? Justice, he's always fair. Righteousness, completely free from sin. Sovereignty, he is the ultimate authority in your sanctification. Omniscience, he knows all the knowable. Omnipotence, he has all the power. Omnipresence, he is everywhere simultaneously. Love, he is unconditional in his love towards you. Immutable, he never changes. When he decided to make you his house, he would never leave his house. Oh no, but you can get out of fellowship with God. God the Holy Spirit leaves you when you sin. BS. BS. He doesn't change. Veracity, he always tells the truth. Eternal, he is the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the life. And what does he do more than anything for you? Battle for you. You got a problem in your life? What are your problems? You know, every week when you come here, you ought to come here with a list. And what you ought to come here with a list of is your problems. What are your problems? You ought to come here with a list. As if you were about to talk to God the Holy Spirit and say, God the Holy Spirit, these are my problems this week. And God the Holy Spirit would say, okay, I see the list. What would you like me to do? Make them go away. And then you would say, my husband's still here. Your problems belong to the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. He will fight for you while you keep silent. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, the resurrection life, eternal life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. We keeping you awake, June? The closing song is, O Yawny Day. Oh, no, it's O Happy Day. O Happy Day. Feel free to sing along if you'd like.
Happy day.
June, that stuff you're doing is not dancing. I just want you to know that. Right? I just want to straighten that out. One of these days I'll give dance lessons, but for now. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we just thank you for making this a happy day. And we're just about as happy as we make up our minds to be, Lord. And we just thank you for providing everything for us so that we can have a magnificent life. And we just embrace all those things that you've given us today to bring joy to our lives. And we just pray that you let this message of joy and the happiness of that song penetrate in such a way that we'll remember all the blessings that you've given us and all the wonderful things that you expect from us, and that we'll be able to deliver. And we pray that you open our hearts to the truth, and that we not only take in that truth for ourselves, but do what you would have us do, and that is pass along that truth to others. And we also pray that you help us to get this idea of dependence into us, that we depend on God the Holy Spirit for everything. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.